Ramsey TV.
I have received mail over the years by various ones in the body of Christ who are worried about their walk. They're worried that they're not doing enough for Christ, but I think we've got that ground covered. We all know that salvation is a gift of God, but there have been people that have been concerned that they love the world too much, or and they shouldn't love the world because John says, you know, don't love the world, or that maybe they're enjoying life too much, which is the same thing as loving the world, I guess. But people are some people have tended to obsess over how they're walking. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be concerned about it, but we're definitely not supposed to obsess over it. And Paul gives instructions over this because apparently it's a common human trait. I think it's probably left over from religion. And what some are doing is they're bringing religion into this walk. But this walk must be divorced from religion. And Paul gives us a great verse in Galatians that settles everything once and for all. And I'm going to encourage anyone who would tend to overanalyze where they are in Christ, what they're doing in Christ, because this is antithetical to what we are supposed to be and how we're supposed to be living, which is pure deliverance. This is going to be a message today of pure deliverance and joy. Yeah, I would even say joy. Welcome, this is Martin Zender. I should have shaved this morning. I've been sick for 5 days, and this actually is a good illustration. Okay, I'm going to tell you about how I've been sick for 5 days. I've had the flu, or whatever, but whatever it is, you know, once in a while you get sick and you do want to feel better. And so, you know, people will tell you different things to do. You need to take this. You need to do that. You need to rest. You need to, oh, rest. By the way, I've never spent all day in bed, probably since I was 10 years old. And somebody told me, well, you just need to rest. I'm thinking, oh, that's a unique concept. So I actually spent a couple days like mostly in bed. I've never done that before. I said, oh, this is great. Why haven't I done this before? This is fantastic. Spent all day in bed? Wow. It's like you're screwing gravity, right? Lying in bed, you're screwing gravity. I mean, it's true, people die in bed. But I'm thinking to myself, I don't plan on dying in bed, but if I do, so what? And it actually helped. Like, wow, this is a breakthrough to me. But sometimes you do things people think you ought to do. Sometimes you don't do things people think you ought to do. Somebody says, take this vitamin, take that vitamin. Okay, yeah, I'll try that. Or maybe I won't. Maybe I will. Maybe I won't. Or maybe I'll just let this flu take its course. In other words, you don't over-obsess about how to get out of any situation you're in. You do maybe what you can do. Some people say that the word should is very bad. Like, well, you should do this. You should do that. You should do this. And it's unanimously agreed that, you know, should can be a really condemning word if you don't do the things you should do. Well, maybe you should do certain things, but if you don't, you must not obsess over it. It's called overthinking. Now, I started by telling you many people have written me being concerned about how they're living. Maybe they're comparing themselves to other people, right? It could be. And whenever we compare ourselves to other people and their walk in Christ, other members of the body of Christ even, we tend to look at ourselves in a bad light if we imagine that this other person is, oh, they have a real spiritual walk. Or maybe some other person is a little bit lazy and they don't seem to be walking the life, and then you feel superior to that person. Well, we need to stop all of this because every single one of us has our own walk with Christ. And if we pull these expectations, if we pull these, I almost want to call them requirements, that we suffered under in our past religious lives. If we pull those into this walk, we're going to ruin the whole idea, the whole beauty of what this is. Romans 12, let's go here. Now I'm entreating you then, brethren, by the pities of God, to present your bodies a sacrifice, living, holy, well-pleasing to God. Oh, that sounds hard. Wait a minute. Your logical divine service, and not to be configured to this eon. Okay, people read this and they freak out because people have written me over the years thinking that they're configured to this eon. Martin, I'm enjoying life too much. Martin, I know I'm supposed to be looking forward to the snatching away, and I am, but I have a new girlfriend and I really want to enjoy life with her, or I got a new job, I found a new hobby, I'm really excited about life right now, and they're actually, I can sense it, they're sad about the snatching away, and they feel guilty because here I am talking about how I can't wait to be done with this life, and I suppose this disposition tends to be that of younger people. Not that I'm old. Somebody wrote me recently with a wonderful saying, a wonderful benediction. Martin, you look old. Thinking, why'd you have to say that? Maybe I do. Is anybody getting younger? I don't know. And I've learned not to care. Okay. I mean, here's another example of it. Even when you're well, you try to stay well. You want to stay in shape. You want to eat right. You want to exercise. Sometimes you do. Sometimes you don't. Leave it there. Sometimes you do. Sometimes you don't. In my healthy life, I run, I do resistance training, I try to eat right, but sometimes I don't. Sometimes I eat 5 chocolate bars. When I'm under stress, I reach for chocolate. Okay, the key is not to condemn yourself for that. And Paul's going to give you advice about eating chocolate right here. He's going to give you advice about not doing the things you're supposed to do right here. And he does it after telling you to offer your bodies a living sacrifice. Oh, does that hurt? Can I start Monday? No, listen to this. Your logical divine service, but be not configured to this eon, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'm in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, but verse 3 is the money verse. Here we go. For you to be testing what is the will of God, good and well, pleasing and perfect. Oh my God, Paul. Testing the will of God, finding out what is good and well, and pleasing, and perfect. Is that all I have to do? Figure out what's good, well, pleasing, and perfect? Sounds like a tall order. Well, it is, but it's not really an order. It's an exhortation. Paul's not bringing back the law of Moses here. Now Paul's going to cut you some slack. And this is the verse. Pay very close attention to this. For I am saying through the grace, now we're getting to it. I'm saying through the grace which is given to me, to everyone who was among you, not to be overweening above what your disposition must be, but to be of a sane disposition, as God parts to each the measure of faith. Okay, the weird word here is overweening. And it's wean, W-E-E-N, not W-E-A-N. W-E-E-N. It's an archaic English word. It means to think. It would have been nice if the word think had been here, because then we would have seen this. Don't be overthinking above what your disposition must be. There's a certain way that you must be. This is where the sovereignty of God kicks in. And everybody is progressing at their own pace. No, I misspoke. Everyone's progressing at God's pace for them. And after telling you to consider what is good, well-pleasing, perfect, Paul says, but don't be overthinking above what your disposition must be, but to be of a sane disposition. Paul is making a plea for sanity, and so am I. Sanity, it's a wonderful thing, because you can drive yourself insane by analyzing your walk, by questioning your motives, by comparing yourself to other believers. Don't do it. You have your own walk with God, and God is bringing you along at his own speed. God parts to each the measure of faith. And Paul begins this verse by saying, I'm saying through the grace which is given to me. The word overweening in the Concordant Dictionary, it's a three-part Greek word. The English elements are be overdisposed. And again, the common way to say this, and this is what the word wean, W-E-E-N, means, is to overthink. To overthink. To the people who have written me over the years, worried that they care too much about this life, worried that maybe they're having too much fun. I've had somebody recently tell me that they're worried that they're not going through enough trials, and they're doubting that they're even in the body of Christ. I'm thinking, what? Why are you doubting you're in the body of Christ? Well, I should be going through more trials. I don't feel I'm suffering enough for the evangel. It's like, and I have dealt with these people in what some people would think is a harsh way, but it's a loving way. It's tough love. I've been written long emails about these certain trials of self-analysis that people are going through. And I'll kind of slap them in the face in a nice way. It's hard to slap people in a nice way, but I've become good at it. I tell them, you're overthinking it. Relax. You're overthinking. Live your life. Because you're basically ruining this beautiful experience of the grace of God. And Paul warns about this, but it's lost with this crazy, stupid word, overweening. Nobody knows what that means. It's to overthink. Paul says, don't do it. Paul's giving the ideal. Test what is good, perfect, holy. He's giving the ideal. Okay, yeah, we got it. But if you think you're falling short, then just fall short until God gives you something different. I'll tell you something shocking right now. This is a confession. I don't work that hard at trying to live the Christ life. In fact, I don't work at it at all. I don't work at it. I don't even think about it. Because I trust that the Spirit of God makes its home in me. And the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, meekness, gentleness, self-control. I go through this list sometimes and measure myself against the list. Maybe I shouldn't do this. But the result of it is good because as I go through the list, I say, love, okay, yeah. Joy, eh, deep down, yeah. Peace, I think I have peace, yeah. Patience, not so much. So instead of focusing on not so much, I say, okay, not so much. There it is. Okay, boom. Just like being sick. I'm sick. So a lot of people get sick. You just wait for yourself to not be sick. Go through the list. I don't work at it. I don't even try. I don't even try. But you see, God lives his life through me at the pace he wants me to live it at. That was a bad sentence. And you're making a mistake if you compare yourself to me. I'm making a mistake if I compare myself to you. And we're all making a mistake if we compare ourselves to Paul. And Paul wants to prevent this. So he says, don't overthink, because your disposition as it is now is the way it's supposed to be. And again, if we're doing anything else, if we're wanting to have someone else's disposition, or if we're wanting to have the disposition of Paul, it's a noble thing. I'm not saying it's not noble to want to have a good walk. But you're defeating the whole purpose of the grace of God. And remember, Paul starts verse 3, I'm saying through the grace which is given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to be overthinking beyond the way God wants you. That's my paraphrase. I think it's a good one. And here's the glory of this walk right here. I'm going to go to Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. This is where we all ought to be, no matter what our disposition is. For freedom, Christ frees us. Yeah, that's in the scriptures. Isn't it great? Galatians 5:1. For freedom, Christ frees us. Stand firm then. Stand firm in what? In your freedom. Stand firm and be not again enthralled with the yoke of slavery. He's talking to former idolaters. And they were enslaved at that time to foreign gods. And I've told you before that the prevailing disposition of these foreign gods is always to invoke fear. The false gods of all religions do one thing. They have one thing in common, and they rule by fear. Paul says, don't go back there. I mean, Paul says, yes, I'm going to give you the ideal. I'm going to set forth the ideal. And Paul sets himself up as an example. But he says, don't occupy yourselves constantly trying to be like me. Because for freedom, Christ frees us. And this requires a standing firm. This requires a really, if you're going to have any effort whatsoever, if you're going to put forth effort, this is what I do. I put forth effort to remain free. Because for freedom, Christ frees us. He doesn't free you from these former religions you've been in. Not talking about the Galatians now and their idolatry. I'm talking about you and your worldwide Church of God, your background of being a Catholic or a Baptist or a Pentecostal or Church of Christ, whatever the heck you were before. Don't go back to that. Don't bring that baggage into this, because this is completely new. This is completely different. This is a walk of freedom. For freedom, Christ frees you. Stand firm then and be not again enthralled with the yoke of slavery. And so, hey, if you're having a, if you have a girlfriend and you want to enjoy your life, then just enjoy it. The snatching away is going to come when it comes. You don't have to feel guilty that you're hoping, man, I'm going to snatching away come maybe in a few months, or maybe next year, maybe after I get married, maybe after I get this new job, maybe after I enjoy my new hobby. Hey, it's going to come when it comes. You wishing for it or you not wishing for it isn't going to speed it up or slow it down. Just live your life. Stop overthinking. Because again, you're destroying the beauty of this unique calling. And this unique calling concerns the grace of God. So stand firm in freedom. Stand firm in keeping all these things out of your life, out of your spiritual walk. Your spiritual walk is not happening in accord with your pace. We're growing in the growth of God. You're not growing in the growth of your timetable. So, relax. Enjoy this life as much as you're able. Trust that the Spirit of God that is operating in you will produce fruit. And it'll do it unconsciously, unconscious of you. The Spirit is very conscious of it. God is conscious of it. Christ is conscious of it. And He'll work it out in your life. You literally don't have to obsess over it or overthink it or really put any effort into it whatsoever. Seriously, I don't put effort into it. It sounds terrible. Even when I'm saying it, it sounds like, oh my God, should I be telling people this? But it's true. And it's the Spirit then, you see, that works it in you. And you don't have to live the life of Christ or the life of Paul or the life of me or life of anyone else. It's Christ that lives His life through you at His own pace. For freedom, Christ frees us. He doesn't free us so that we can get involved in some new form of bondage, some new form of slavery, some new form of obsession, some new form of worrying about our walk. No, for freedom, Christ frees you. Paul repeats the word, for freedom, Christ frees you, to get it through our skulls. Freedom, get it? This is the walk we're in now. It's a whole new world. Enjoy it, or you're defeating the purpose of it.